Welcome to the Race with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for February 13th, 2019. It's 2020. February 13th, 2020. Today, looking at 2 Kings chapter 25. And this reading takes place about 200 years after yesterday's reading. This is right around the year 586 BC. So 586 years before Christ. And at this point in time, the northern kingdom has already been destroyed, and it's been gone for nearly 150 years. And they've had 200 years of prophets that God has sent saying, repent and stop worshiping those false gods. Repent and return to him. Repent and restore the worship of the Lord. But over those 200 years, they haven't had very many godly kings. They've had a number of ungodly kings who have led them into the worship of false gods and of idols, and only a few godly kings who would restore the worship of God, of the true God, for his reign, and maybe the reign of his son after him. But that's about it. And things had gotten really bad. The Israelites had set up idols in the temple court. The temple that we heard about just a couple days ago, with Solomon praying that God would bless it, and that they dedicated with thousands upon thousands of animal sacrifices. That temple that was covered with gold inside and out. The temple was the place where God had put his blessing on it as he filled the temple itself with that cloud of his presence. And you probably remember Solomon's prayer that if the people forget you, Lord, then take them away from this place. And if they remember you while they're in exile, then bring them back to this place. Well, the time has come. After 250 years of warnings, the time has finally come where the Babylonians have besieged Jerusalem. And that's where we pick up in 2 Kings chapter 25. In the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came up against Jerusalem. He laid siege to it and built a rampart around it. The city was under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the ninth day of the fourth month, famine gripped the city, and the people of the land had no bread. Then the city wall was breached, and all the soldiers fled toward the Arabah, through the gate that was between the two walls near the king's garden, while the Chaldeans were surrounding the city. But the Chaldean army pursued the king. They caught him in the Arabah, near Jericho. His whole army was scattered away from him. So they seized the king. They brought him to the king of Babylon in Riblah, and a sentence was pronounced on him. They slaughtered Zedekiah's sons before his eyes, and then Zedekiah was blinded. They bound him with bronze shackles and took him to Babylon. In the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, an officer of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan burned the Lord's house and the king's palace and all the houses of Jerusalem. He burned down every large building. The whole Chaldean army, which was under the captain of the guard, tore down the walls around Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, exiled the rest of the people who remained in the city, along with those who had previously surrendered to the king of Babylon and the rest of the crowds. But the captain of the guard left the poorest people of the land to tend the vineyards and the farms. The Chaldeans broke up the bronze pillars which were in the house of the Lord, and the carts, and the bronze sea which was in the house of the Lord, and they took the bronze to Babylon. They took the pots, the shovels, the candle snuffers, the bowls, and all the bronze utensils with which they served. The captain of the guard took the fire pans and the bowls, whatever was made of pure gold and pure silver. The bronze from all these articles, the two pillars, the sea, and the carts which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, they could not be weighed. The height of one pillar was 27 feet, and the capital on top of it was bronze. The height of the capital was 4.5 feet. Latticework and pomegranates went all around the capital. All this was bronze, and the other pillar with its latticework was the same. The captain of the guard took Sariah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second-ranking priest, and three doorkeepers. From the city he took an official who was in charge of the soldiers and five of the king's close advisers, who were found in the city, as well as the secretary, the army commander who drafted the people of the land, and 60 men from the people of the land who were found in the city. Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took them and brought them with him to the king of Babylon in Riblah. The king of Babylon struck them down and killed them in Riblah, in the land of Hamath. So Judah went into exile from her country. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, over the people who remained in the land, because he had left some people behind. All the commanders of the army and their men heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah, so they went to Gedaliah at Mizpah. They were Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, Johanan, son of Kariah, Sariah, son of Tanhum, the Netophathite, Jaazaniah, son of Maakathite, and their men. Then Gedaliah swore an oath to them and to their men, and said, "Don't be afraid of the officials of the Chaldeans. Return to the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it will go well for you." But in the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, who was of royal descent, came with 10 men and struck down Gedaliah and killed him, along with the men of Judah and the Chaldeans who were with him in Mizpah. Then all the people from the least to the greatest and the commanders of the army set out and went to Egypt because they were afraid of the Chaldeans. In the 37th month of the exile of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year he became king, released Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from prison. He spoke kindly to him, and gave him a seat above the seats of the other kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim changed his prison clothes, and he ate bread continually in the king's presence all the days of his life. A regular allowance was given to him from the king for his daily needs all the days of his life. This is the word of our God. Few things communicate God's seriousness about sin as the destruction of Jerusalem. And God had warned them. God had warned them for 400 years since the time of David, all the way down to the present time. And really, God had warned them for what? 900 years, 850 years since the time of Moses. Moses had told them back in Deuteronomy, if you obey the Lord, if you hold fast to his commands, then God will keep you in the land, and God will bless you, and God will be with you, and you won't have anything to fear. But the people, dating all the way back to Samuel, they said, well, we want to be like the other nations. We want to have a king to lead us. And they ended up being like the other nations when they forfeited the protection of the true God, and they started worshiping the gods of the other nations, and they chased after the power and the wealth of the other nations. And they forfeited what they had. They forfeited the faith that God had entrusted to them, the words that God had entrusted to them. And so God brought about the exact destruction that he had threatened and the destruction that he had promised. But with a purpose. You see, this destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC, and also the destruction of Jerusalem again in the year 70 AD by the Romans, these two things, these two events, are used as a picture of Judgment Day and God's judgment on the people. And if you read through the book of Lamentations, Lamentations is basically the prophet Jeremiah writing a song of mourning and a song of woe as he wanders the city, staggering about, and everybody is hungry. And the sort of details, I mean, if you read it carefully, both in the first siege of Jerusalem by the Babylonians and then the second siege of Jerusalem by the Romans in the year 70, the people had absolutely no food, and they resorted to things that should not be done as part of God's judgment on them. They turned their backs on God, and eventually God said that he would turn his back on them. But God does so with a loving purpose in mind, because he doesn't want to lose these people for eternity. He doesn't want to lose you and me for eternity. That if his people had been allowed to live in Jerusalem and continue worshiping other gods and intermarrying with the surrounding nations, then his nation would have disappeared. And continuing to live in Jerusalem, it's just like if God had allowed Adam and Eve to continue living in the Garden of Eden with free access to the Tree of Life, that God sends them away in order to bring about a greater restoration. God sent Adam and Eve away in order to bring about the greater restoration of people walking with God, people you know, believing in the Son that God had sent and being in fellowship with God. God sent his people Israel, the people of Judah, away from Jerusalem with a greater intent of giving them a greater restoration of life together with him, because he wants their hearts. And it's obvious here, from this reading especially, that God cannot be mocked, that we are not to use God's forgiveness as an excuse to sin, but to use God's forgiveness as every reason to live godly lives, that we are not to sit around and wonder how long is it going to be before Jesus returns on the clouds of heaven, but we are to be busy at work, sharing this word of life with anyone who will listen. Because the image of the destruction here and the destruction in the New Testament, that's a picture of God's judgment at the end of time. That eventually, God is gonna put an end to the apostasy. God is gonna put an end to the idolatry. But those who believe in him are safe. Those whom Jesus has redeemed and marked through holy baptism are safe. And so, dear friends, sometimes it might feel like, you know, you're living in Jerusalem and all around you is unbelief. And maybe there's been a couple of commentators who have made the point that our country today here in the United States is more like Babylon, that you and I, Christians, believers in the God of the Bible, followers of Jesus, that you and I are like the believers living in Babylon. And all around us are those who have perhaps wealth or power or prestige, but they worship false gods. But it is in that place of darkness, a place of darkness where the understanding of Scripture has perhaps grown dim, where the world around grows darker and darker as Judgment Day approaches. And we pray, you know, come, Lord Jesus, come soon. But until then, Jesus, if you remember your gospel reading from this past Sunday, Jesus has named you light. He has named you salt. He has called you to be his own. And he has declared this about you, that you are light. So take the warning, heed the warning from the history of the Israelites here, and don't get caught up in all that the world around you would have you believe and have you say and have you hold on to, but hold on to this Jesus and then shine so that the light of your life and the light of the Word of God may be shared with those around us, because judgment isn't here yet. Thanks so much for joining us today. Make sure to check us out on Facebook when you get the chance. Just check out Raised with Jesus. We have a page specifically for this podcast, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. I know you have a lot of choices out here in podcast land, but we really appreciate the time that you spend with us. We'll be coming up on episode 500 probably this weekend, in the next couple of days, and we'll also probably be featuring a special episode, an interview with Pastor Michael Otterstetter. He's a vice president for mission advancement at Martin Luther College in New Ulm. Got to talk to him yesterday for about 20 minutes, and I think you'll enjoy that one. So thanks so much, and God bless your day.